Welcome to episode 57, Stairway to Heaven, of the Breakdown Wars podcast.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
I did not expect the actual song, but yeah, I guess I should have, though. Because wavelengths and same pages and whatnot. Okay. Well, folks, this show will...
Piper's calling you to join him on this amazing episode of the Breakdown Walls podcast.
Oh my god. Wow.
a scrambling for random lyric to Stairway to Heaven that would fit.
Right.
That
was right.
That's like come up.
That's the closest one you got. Okay. I mean, it's pretty good for a scramble, I'll give you that one. Pretty good for a scramble. All right, so folks, this show is not going to disappoint, I don't think, in the slightest, because...
Now, this is a huge
holy
show.
Holy cow!
Oh my god.
Holy cow!
This might be another two-hour show.
It might be another two-hour show, because this week was flooded with news!
On both fronts.
On both fronts, yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. It is a good week for gaming this week. And with that said, since it is going to be, a two-hour show anyway, probably... it's going to be a fairly basic one, because that's all we need right now, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
So it's going to be gaming news. It's going to be accessibility news. And that's it. But that's, trust me when I say, that is enough.
That's all we need this week. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff there is.
Yeah, there's a lot. So,
boy.
Without further ado, let's get right to it with some gaming news. All right, it's time for gaming news. Okay.
By the way,
Very
slight tangent. I like what they did with Anchor now, where you only have if you're recording a new segment, you only have to hit the join button once instead of twice now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's kind of nice, actually.
I didn't know that because I'm always on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. That's good, though. That's good. Good job, guys. Good job.
Thanks, Anchor.
Yeah. Thanks, Anchor. You're the best. Not sponsored. You know, I feel like I should be sponsored by them at this point. At least them.
And we've always used them.
I mean, yeah, we always use them. But number two, it's not like Anchor has to do a separate deal to get a sponsorship for themselves.
Right.
So I feel like they should be the default sponsor. And yet I still have no sponsorship opportunities listed in my thing. So I don't know. It strikes me as weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start with gaming news.
Gaming news. Lots of it.
So, Nintendo.
So much.
Nintendo.
Oh my god, all the Nintendo.
The outline for this week begins with the words, "Holy Mario, Batman!"
Holy Mario, Batman!
So,
yep.
Nintendo's doing a thing. Celebrating Mario's 35th anniversary of existence. And,
it's as old as I am.
It's, yeah. It's almost as old as me. Because you're older and yeah, stuff.
Yep.
So, they're doing a lot. And I mean a heck of a lot. For one thing, they're releasing a game called Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which contains three 3D games. Super Mario 64, basically remastered. Super Mario Sunshine and Super Mario Galaxies, all remastered for the Switch. Also... Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. my outline writing next to this is, what the?
Yeah, that was so weird. That was out of nowhere.
Mario Kart Live Home Circuit is an insane idea that only rich people will be able to actually do.
It just
For real. No average person living in an apartment...
No one's gonna have the house, the real estate space to be able to accommodate this thing. Like, so no
what,
way.
So what Mario Kart Live is it's a thing for the Switch. It's a game for the Nintendo Switch.
It's cool is what it is.
It's, yeah, I'm not denying that it's cool, but no way am I even, like, even considering buying
in
it.
In my little nothing apartment? Nah, there's no way.
Even in the house. Like, we live in a house. I know we don't have enough room for that. Anyway, what it is.
It's a pet's nightmare, too, is what it is.
Right, right. That's true, too.
We haven't even explained what this is. We should probably do that.
Yeah, let's get to that. For those who did not watch Nintendo Direct, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit is a game that is for the Nintendo Switch, but it is a game that is composed of several peripherals, including an actual remote-controlled vehicle. An actual remote-controlled vehicle, which can be controlled by the game in different ways. Which is crazy. And the reason it's called Home Circuit is because you literally build the Mario Kart course in your home.
Yep.
Not
augmented
kidding.
Reality.
You augmented reality. Yeah, you place down these gates and things where you want them to be on the course in your actual house. And then you race people with the actual remote control vehicles in this circuit. And when I say that the game can control the vehicles, I mean, like, if your character gets hit by a power-up that would slow down or stop the vehicle, then it will actually slow down and or stop. So, do you have the space for that, listeners? Because we sure don't.
Nope.
But that said, yeah, sure, I absolutely acknowledge the tech is cool. You know, I respect the technology behind that.
Yeah.
But no way, dude.
Yeah, no.
Maybe in some far-flung future where we're all living on Mars or something. Or you know where this is going to work? Hmm. You know where this is going to work? This is going to work at, like, kids' party places. Like, places that
you
are designed.
What? That might be who they're marketing for.
It may be.
They might not be marketing to the average consumer.
Well, then again, it's called Home Circuit, though.
Yeah, but...
And the commercial does show rich people
house.
When they're big old house.
Yeah. No, you have to have, like, an absurd amount of, like, space
to
accommodate this.
Just to set it up. Like, no matter how you configure the course.
Which is okay, but... Like, you're the average person in an apartment's not going to be able to make use of this. Like,
yeah, it's not going to work for most people. So I don't know how well that's going to do. But the thing is, Nintendo's in a weird position where they don't need any one of these things to do super well because they have so many things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess whatever.
This is just probably just a let's see how this does kind of thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting though.
It is interesting, and the tech is cool, but I don't know Nintendo. You just do your thing.
The average consumer isn't gonna get much out of this, unfortunately, just because of the space required.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's too bad.
So moving on with the Mario news. Yes, that's right, we're not done yet.
I kinda want that. It's not in the outline, but I kinda want that Game & Watch.
Oh, the Game Watch? Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, but I was like, eh. Like, I mean,
just for the, not so much just because, you know, I can't play it, obviously, but like,
the nostalgia.
Just to have, like,
you could fire up cool. Mario on your wrist anytime you want.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Just want to go, I want to hear the Mario theme just to start the game up. All right. Yeah, right. Like, ah, yes, that's all I wanted. You just play until you die. Like, ah, that's all I wanted. All right. I feel better now.
No, in all reality, I probably won't end up buying that.
But
it's one of those things like, ah, man, that's so cool.
Again, for those who didn't watch, they are releasing a Game & Watch just like they used to. Game & Watch is kind of how they started in video games, kind of. It's you know, where Nintendo began in video games. Like, hey, let's make a portable thing. But now they're releasing a new one that actually has Nintendo Mario Brothers on a watch, basically. So you can play it on a watch. And Bob says, I want that. Dad, get it for me immediately.
It's got Mario Brothers. It's got the original Game & Watch game Ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. The original game, yeah.
And it's apparently like an LCD screen and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's a real thing. You can play Mario Brothers on your wrist, if you so choose, for the next few months.
I think it's going to be a collector's item, though, I'm sure.
Oh, like, sure, sure. Yeah.
I think it's going to get scalped to high heaven.
Less played, more paid. Ha ha.
Yep.
All right.
Exactly.
So next up, on the same Nintendo Direct, more Mario. Mario 35 Battle Royale.
Yep.
Is a game that's going to exist. It is releasing on October 1st. And it is a Battle Royale Mario game featuring the same concepts as not exactly Fortnite. What was it? I should have written this down too.
There's one.
Yes. 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 Tetris 99. So you're playing through Mario levels. Every person is playing through Mario levels, but depending on what you do in the Mario level, it'll determine what happens in the Battle Royale. So like when you get a coin, you get a chance to do a roulette for power-ups. When you kill an enemy, that enemy is transported to someone else's screen to take them on, you know. And
generally, it's like, that's a neat idea.
It's a cool idea. But we're finally getting to the thing that has not only baffled me, but has baffled critics all over the place.
Oh, this got Disney trending. This is how weird this is. This actually got Disney.
It's got Disney trending.
Specifically Disney Vault.
Ah, yes, okay. But before we get to that, real quick, before we get to that, because I did forget to write this down, there was one more thing, and that was that, two more things, technically. Number one, almost every Nintendo game that is modern and current is doing a Super Mario event of some kind to celebrate. Animal Crossing is, Smash is, Splatoon is, basically everything is. Only that, the second thing is also on the Switch online thing, the Super Nintendo online thing, they are releasing Super Mario All-Stars, the original Super Mario All-Stars for free for no additional charge. So if you want to play that, you can.
Yay.
So that's cool. But now we get to the crux of this whole thing.
Oh, this is so... I do not understand this.
Here we go. Listeners, pay attention. Every single thing we've just talked about is only available until March 31st, 2021.
Yep.
All of it.
Even the 35th... The Mario All-Star, the 3D All-Stars, whatever it's called.
3D All-Stars, March 31st, 2021. The new Battle Royale game.
Even the digital. Even the digital stuff. The physical stuff I get.
Yeah, but even the digital,
digital stuff. What?
The Battle Royale game is digital only, but still March 2021.
Yep.
It's a new game that was made by a team, and yet it's only going to exist for a few months.
So from a marketing standpoint, I actually understand this.
Really? Because
I know why they're doing it.
I don't get it at all.
It's the whole fear of missing out thing is what it is.
You'll get it because if you don't, then you'll never get it.
Then you'll never get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of people, myself included, a lot of times... we'll just go, I'll wait until it goes on sale.
Right,
you know?
Right. And this is never going to go on sale. Because
I didn't get Blaze Blue Central Fiction for a few years.
Neither one of us did.
Like, I waited until I got it to like $20.
We got it in the same sale, I remember. Me and you both got it in the same sale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah, you're right.
All right, for $20, I'll get it. But yeah, with this, like, it's full price or nothing. And this actually really worries me. And I'm not the only one that's brought this up.
Yeah.
This is going to start a trend. And I really, really hope it doesn't. But I'm afraid that it's going to.
If it does, I think it'll be a trend more with... I think if it does, it'll be more a trend with indie developers. And this is just my opinion. Obviously, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like it'd be more of a possibility with indie developers to start a trend like this, because AAA typically wants to make that money all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Most AAA is not going to get rid of their product unless, you know, there's a good reason to get rid of their product. If people are still like playing their product. Like, most AAA games, except Nintendo, apparently, would never get rid of a Battle Royale product if it was successful.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, because
this
I
is
going like to
be successful. You know
I
it
feel
is.
Like that's throwing away
work.
Perfectly decent
and time.
Money.
And, yeah. The reason Battle Royale works is because of people wanting to continue playing. So you get them with the microtransactions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Say what
you
want
that
about
really
the practice,
cool skin,
but that's
here,
why it works.
Give us $10 or whatever.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Or however much skins go for, I don't know. But
skins usually not $10. $10 for the, like, if you're talking like Fortnite, $10 for the battle pass, and then you can earn everything in the battle pass by playing the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So you pay that $10 and you earn a bunch of stuff as you play.
Okay.
But yeah, but, you know, but it works. Like, it's a strategy. Like, say what you will about that practice, but it's a strategy that works. It works very, very well.
I mean, that's why Fortnite is the most profitable game in history.
In
right
the
now.
World. Yeah, in history, yeah. And these guys are going to release a Battle Royale game and then get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's baffling.
The internet immediately was just like, what is this? What are you doing, Nintendo? Like,
yeah,
yes. Nintendo, you are the Disney of games, but that doesn't mean you have to treat your games like Disney does with its fucking vault.
Right. It's so true, though. It's oh, by the way, I forgot I wrote this in our outline when talking about this part. I said, Nintendo,
sometimes you be dumb.
You dumb.
Yeah. It's true, though.
Oh, man.
Nintendo does weird shit like this sometimes, though. Like, sometimes
they do.
Just weird.
Nintendo just... I feel like Nintendo really does not give a crap about what anyone thinks of them.
No.
Like, it's just...
No,
they're off in their own world. They will do their own thing. It is fine. You know?
Yep.
I mean, they're not... They're doing all right. They're not losing money. The Switch is very, very profitable, so...
Oh, and we had another... It's not in the outline again, but...
Oops. I tried,
No, it literally just happened. Like, I literally just heard about this today, but apparently the announcement came yesterday. They stealth announced a new game again. They did it again.
They did it again. okay.
Hyrule Warriors, the Calamity or something like that. It's basically a... It's another Hyrule Warriors game, but it's built as a prequel to Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
So you get to so you get to see the whole thing in Breath of the Wild, where how the Calamity actually starts and
interesting.
Like that, which actually sounds like a really cool premise. A lot of people
that actually comes across as cool to me.
Yeah.
Because
I
like the original Hyrule Warriors. Me and Misty played that together. Well, we didn't finish it yet, but we started playing it together. Because you can play it with just two Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Misty started playing it together. And I like it. It's you know, it's Dynasty Warriors, but Zelda, basically.
I wish we could play that solo, but unfortunately the environmental stuff kind of hinders that.
Yeah.
This is making me want to play Samurai Warriors 4 again, though. I love that game. Oh.
Yeah. Right now, me and Misty are only stuck because our characters are under-leveled for the boss of the area that we were in. So we have to go on that grind next time we play it. Well, we do want to play it at some point again, but we haven't played it in a long time.
Yeah,
but
that's cool. Grinding. I had to do some grinding yesterday in another game that we're going to talk about later.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Another game? I don't know. I think we're done, right? There's no other games to talk about. No, just kidding. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about still. But yeah, so that's cool. I like that. Another Hyrule Warriors is a positive for me. So bring that on. But the rest of this Nintendo...
I mean, just mention that now because it's Nintendo and we're just...
Right, no, yeah.
Group all the Nintendo stuff together.
Yeah, the rest of this nonsense Nintendo is insane. Anyway... Okay. Moving on from Nintendo and Mario, back to the boxing match, the Punch-Out boxing match, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Epic versus Apple. Good Lord, stuff keeps happening. Yes, stuff keeps happening. Most recently, Epic has filed a new injunction against Apple. So Apple is trying to get, Epic is trying to get Fortnite back on the App Store. So they filed an injunction against Apple to try to make that happen. Apple responded by requesting the court grant them all the profits generated by Epic bypassing their payment system, plus damages.
I feel like they're not going to get that. I feel like that's kind of an outrageous request.
Well, I'm not sure anymore. I don't know. Like, seeing both sides of this is really weird, because like I said, I even said in the beginning when we first started covering this that it's hard not to go back and forth on this issue, because both of these companies I understand both sides of it too, but at the same time, both these companies are doing some shady stuff, man.
Yep.
Like as much as I hate to admit it, like, because when I started this discussion, I was all the way on Epic's side, but I guess I have to admit that it's pretty blatantly obvious that what all Epic is really trying to do is
this was a very calculated maneuver from the outset.
It's super calculated.
It was meant to troll Apple and piss them off, and it worked. Yeah,
and it worked.
They're not the victim in here. This was premeditated, you know.
Like, yeah. There is no victim here. This is two companies spitting at each other.
yeah, that's really all it is.
Two massive billion-dollar companies, and the thing is, that's what Apple pointed out. Like, this is not Apple in their statement to the court said this is not Epic seeking justice for some wrongdoing. Right. This is another multi-billion-dollar company who just stubbornly doesn't want to pay the 30% that we're asking for.
I do agree with Epic that 30% is way too much.
I do agree with that.
Too much.
But also at the same time, Apple's also right. That is what Epic is doing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, a lot of the reason I was on Epic's side in the beginning, like completely on Epic's side, is because I'm still kind of hopeful about this. I really want this to turn into a discussion about Apple's policies and hopefully...
I think maybe that's probably what they were trying to do is start that discussion.
I hope so. That's what I want out of this, if nothing else.
Tim Sweeney, I think I mentioned this before, like Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic, has gone on tirades in the past about Apple and how crappy their business product policies are.
Yeah, because that discussion still needs to happen. I hope that it does, because that could lead to some good things for everyone. Like, for instance, and I'm even including Microsoft in here, xCloud and Stadia being allowed to actually function on iPhones, which currently Apple says no to, which, again, I say that makes no sense because you allow remote play.
No, that's really dumb.
Like, their reason for it is because it would undercut the App Store, but then again... With remote play, which currently works on my iPhone, I can play any game on my PS4.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't get it.
And I don't know. It's really weird.
Yep, it's super weird. But that's the update. Epic and Apple are still going at it, and right now Apple's asking for damages plus all the profits generated by all bypassing of Epic systems or Apple systems.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I feel like it's not a definite Sherlock. Like, I feel like they might get it. I don't know about you, but just as I'm kind of flip-flopping on the issue, maybe the court will too. Like, you know?
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is one judge to say, yeah, okay, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
This whole thing is just crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man.
And it might drag on for years. I don't know. Who knows how long this is going to last.
Yeah. But, as always, we will, of course, continue to cover it. Yep. Because that's what we do around here. This is a story we will follow Indeed. Till its end. We will let you know what's going on. Okay.
Yep.
It's finally time for what I would call this week's big announcements. Even though as big as the previous announcements have been, I think this is what we all came here for. This is what we came here to see. At least that's how I feel about it. It wasn't exactly the announcement that I was hoping for personally, but it is going to lead to that. I guarantee it, because it basically has
to. We thought it was going to today, but
I was hoping today, but if not today,
and there was only so long we could delay the episode to wait.
Yeah, and it still could technically happen today. It could be happening right now. You wouldn't know. But no,
right.
Even if it's not today, it's going to be very soon. But anyway, let's get to it here. So, Xbox, ladies and gentlemen, stuff got confirmed. And yes, it all started because stuff got leaked.
Yep.
So basically what happened was a marketing/promotional video leaked on the internet. And someone picked it up and started, you know, sharing it to the world and everything. And the marketing/promotional video that leaked on the internet showed, number one, the price and release date of the as yet, you know, before yesterday, as yet unannounced Xbox Series S, the lighter Xbox X Lite, basically.
The new next-gen console. Oh, we knew that was a thing anyway.
Yeah. So it shows that. Everyone knew it was coming. Everyone knew it was going to happen anyway. But it showed that. It showed the price for it is $299.99, so $299.99, and release date of November 10th. But then the same leak also showed that the Xbox Series X was $499.99 with the same release date. At first, Microsoft only confirmed the Series S. They said, okay, fine, let's make it official. Yes, the Series S is a thing. Yes, it's $299.99. And yes, it's coming out on the 10th. Then, as far as I know, this happened like finally late yesterday, I think. Like late last night. They finally said, okay, fine. The whole thing is real. So ladies and gentlemen, I officially announce to you, the whole thing is indeed real. Xbox themselves have confirmed. Series X is coming out on November 10th, 2020. At $499.99, that goes for pounds and dollars, which is still a kind of odd practice to me because
it's bad different values. Yeah, bad. They need to. I don't know why companies always.
I don't like that. Always. I don't like that at all.
It screws over. It screws over UK people really badly.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But anyway, it is what it is. I mean, Sony's gonna do the same thing. You know it. So.
Yeah, and all companies do it.
Yeah, all companies do it. So $499.99, either way, pounds and dollars. Although, I guess, so here's, you know what's weird about it? I saw a tweet from Ed Boon, I think it was Ed Boon. Was it Ed Boon? Maybe not. I don't remember who it was from. Anyway, I saw a tweet today that said that in Canadian, they're not doing that. In Canadian, it's like 550 CAD for the Series X, I think, and like three something.
Which is like the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's so, I don't know.
I don't know. That's so weird.
It's weird. But anyway, so those are official prices confirmed November 10th, 2020, Xbox Series X and Series S. And
apparently it looks like a speaker. It looks like it has a speaker on it.
The S looks like a speaker. Circle. Yeah, I've heard that. It's apparently got a monstrous vent on top and is just big and cubey like a speaker.
Never, well, not big. Not big. Want the red ring of death to happen again. They are going to vent the shit out of that console.
Right. And you know that's exactly the purpose of that vent.
Yep.
So I should not have said big. Apparently, the Xbox Series S is literally the smallest, the smallest form factor Xbox to date. So cool. Yeah. Also, believe it or not, I am actually going to give even more credit to Xbox right now. So check it out, yo.
Oh, yeah. This thing they're doing. It's so cool.
Well, actually, I'm not getting to that just yet. I know what you're thinking of, but I'm not getting to that just yet. I actually wanted to give them credit for the Series S itself. Because just this morning, they released a video about the Series S that talked about the specs of the Series S. because everyone wants to know, how does it compare to the X, right? I mean, it's $200 cheaper. So what's the difference? I got to give him credit, dude. Here's the differences. Here's the differences.
It has lack of a disk drive.
The Series S has no disk drive. That's one. That does cheapen the cost a little bit, so you don't have to put all the fancy lasers and stuff in the console. So that's part of it. But other than that, there's only one other difference. The GPU on the Series S renders at 1440p instead of 4K. And that is literally all.
Well, crap, I might get a Series S then. If that's...
They said,
because I don't give a crap about 4K.
They said literally every single other feature that is in the X is in the Series S. Every single one.
Well,
the only difference is the render resolution. That is it.
That actually makes the S kind of attractive.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that. The only problem is,
don't care about 4K.
The only problem is, though, I couldn't get a Series S. Because we have Xbox 360 games and Xbox One games on discs. And if you have Xbox 360 and Xbox One games on discs and you want to take advantage of backwards compatibility, well,
yeah.
You kind of need a disk drive for that.
Put the disc in. Yep.
So I couldn't get one if I wanted
one. Yeah. Yeah.
But I certainly understand. Like, now I can respect them and I can acknowledge that there is appeal there.
Yeah.
a really cheap and easy next-gen console. If you don't care about 4K, which will honestly, I'll admit it, be a lot of blind people.
Yep.
May get the Series S over PS5 because of the price.
Mm-hmm.
Because
attractive price.
I think you and I both know, Sterlock, and you probably also know, listeners, that the PS5, they haven't announced anything yet, but I think we all know this. It's going to be expensive.
The going theory that people are, like, number-wise, that people are throwing around right now is $399, which kind of makes sense to me.
You know, but you realize the reason they're throwing that around right now is because they think
to undercut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they do...
I think that's why they've waited so
here's
long.
Here's the thing. If Sony actually decides to do that, because... This might be unbelievable to some people, but it's the truth because this is how much I am hyped. mentally, I am prepared to pay $600 for a console. Does that make sense? Like, am I crazy or like?
Yeah, no.
I am mentally prepared. I am willing.
As much as they've hyped up, you know, things like the drive,
but if they actually do that and undercut Xbox and make the PS5 $399, oh my god!
Yeah. Yep.
That'll be amazing. I don't know if they'll do it. Man. I don't know if they'll do it because, I mean. What with that? Because remember the PS5. Remember it does lose on the teraflop count, but it does win on the SSD count, the SSD, you know, speed and quality and stuff like that.
Which I think honestly that's the part I care more about anyway. Like
it's the part I care more about too. But the point is SSDs are super expensive, especially these SSDs because they're not being mass produced.
Proprietary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The PS5, like, it's just like Mark Cerny said, the PS5 will support other swappable solid-state hard drives eventually, but not right away, because there are none that meet the standard required by the system.
Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
I don't know if an undercut is possible. I would love to believe it, but I don't know.
As much as they've hyped this thing up, yeah, you have a point.
Yeah. So I wrote this part of the outline yesterday. So I said, there's a rumor the PS5 will spawn in kind tomorrow. May have to update this later.
Nope.
But they haven't responded yet. However, I forgot to write this down. I'm so glad I remembered this story because I forgot to write it down. They have not responded yet, but things are moving. And you know how I know? Article published this morning, which I can't believe I forgot to write it down because I wrote down two things this morning alone. I still forgot to write this down. Article published this morning. Someone noticed that Amazon UK specifically, not US apparently, not yet, but Amazon US or UK has put up a bunch of box art just this morning for a bunch of PS5 games. So if you go to Amazon UK, you can see the box art for Demon's Souls Remake. You can see the box art for Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I think like two or three more just got put up on Amazon just this morning. So
cool.
I do think that things are moving quickly. And I do think that even if it's not today, it's going to be very, very soon.
Nice.
So I know that a lot of people who we'll get to that in just a second because of our next thing. So a lot of people who say it's not today think it might be tomorrow. And there's a good reason for that. Our next item on the agenda. I can't not love this a little bit. Okay, so I wrote down in the outline. So after I wrote down the thing about, I'm going to have to update this later because pre-orders might go live on Wednesday. And then the next thing I wrote, which I wrote this morning, was actually, there definitely is at least one PS5 pre-order going live tomorrow. This week, tomorrow being Thursday. That is if, you know, you have $10,000.
Yeah.
Yes, that's, indeed.
I mean, everybody has that.
Everyone just has a spare $10,000 lying around, right?
$10,000.
It's just $10,000. It's just nothing. So this is a real thing, guys. This is not like an article from The Onion. This is a real thing. Sony is giving exactly one UK retailer limited edition solid gold PlayStation 5s. Solid gold. And we're talking, there's two options that you have with this. You can get an 18 karat rose gold PS5. That's 18 karat gold. It's real. Or you can get a 24 karat gold PlayStation 5. 24 karat gold PlayStation 5. And pre-orders for those are absolutely going live tomorrow. Okay. So, you know, if you should happen to have a spare $10,000 lying around, you know, for that rainy day fund, turn that into your PS5 fund, why don't you? And instead, get a solid gold PlayStation 5.
Oh my god.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is just nuts. It's like, Nintendo did this back in the day, though. They made the solid gold Game Boy back in the day.
Oh, that's right, they did.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And that sold on eBay for like $30,000 later, I think. And that, honestly, to be honest with you, that's probably what's going to happen to this thing, too.
How much did the... do we know, it's been a crazy Game Boy, so do we know how much the Iraq Game Boy sold for? Or the Gulf War Game Boy? Actually, no, I think that ended up in the Smithsonian or something.
Oh, yeah, I think so, museum. Yeah. I think it did. Yeah, because they do have some video game stuff now in there. Like E.T.
Yep.
A bunch of those got donated, I believe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what else is going to happen with them?
Which
anyway,
is hilarious, because it's not even a rare game, but, yeah.
No, but it's still a landmark game.
Because, yeah, just because of the historical...
Yeah, it's got historical value for that reason. Yeah. But anyway, so yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And it's really happening.
Honey, I know I was supposed to get you that, you know, engagement ring. But instead of that, I figured I'd get us something we could both enjoy.
Well, what is it? Is it a trip to Hawaii? Are we going to Cancun? No, it's, dear.
It's a 24 karat solid gold PS5. Where are you going?
Come back.
Why are you crying?
It was only $10,000. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
But here's the thing, though. There's actually a little bit more to this story. You actually have another option, too. If you don't want to pay all the way in, you actually don't have to, because they're even selling separately, if you want them, solid gold PS5 DualSense controllers and solid gold PS5 wireless headsets. The controller is something like £650. This is British pounds, this is a UK retailer.
Yeah, yeah.
The wireless headset, solid gold, is like 350 or something like that, 360 or something like that. So, you know, maybe you just want a solid gold controller for your PS5. Maybe that's all you, you know.
Yep.
It's a lot easier, a lot more manageable there.
Oh, you know, man.
You could buy the PS5, the regular PS5, and then for the same price, get a solid gold controller.
Oh my god.
Of course, that joke assumes that it's going to be $600, but you know.
Yeah.
It's still just crazy. But the thing is, the reason, like, I wrote this down for two reasons. Number one, it's hilarious. Of course it is. But number two, it could be relevant.
Yeah.
It's a decent guess that if it's not going to be today, then why not have all PS4 pre-orders go live right when these crazy ones do tomorrow?
Yep. Oh, so something else to talk about with the Xbox.
Oh yeah,
that I just remembered. They're going to be offering finances on them, like payment plans.
Yes, the All Access program.
Yep.
The thing is, they announced that a while back, but it's weird because they absolutely 100% announced that a while back, and yet the news I've seen today is acting like they just announced it. I swear, it's so weird to me. It's like, oh wow, well, this is really cool.
The reason they're making the reason they're making a big deal out of it is because they announced the actual numbers for the two SKUs.
Oh, that's right. We didn't have numbers before, did we? You're right. You're right. Nope. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's why
people are reporting on that. It's $25 bucks a month for, I think, a 2-year plan on the S.
On the S,
and
yeah.
$35 for the X. Series X.
So yeah, if you.
That's kind of nice, so actually.
It is. You know what? I'll fully admit that's nice. I'll fully admit that's nice. And you know what? If so number one, the Xbox Series S is already pretty well priced, considering it is literally a Series X with just no disk drive and just less rendering.
Right.
It's pretty good price as it is. But even if you can't pay that, absolutely the idea behind the subscription model here is a good one.
Like, I feel like
a lot of people are going to be able to get Series S if they want them.
Yep. I mean, especially, you know, that's going to be super attractive to parents. You're like, oh,
yeah,
I can just pay $25 a month and get my kid
the Series S for Christmas or even the X. Yeah. Like, even if they're like, oh, yeah, I can just pay $35 a month.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal.
Actually, Alana Pierce was kind of like leery about the whole thing.
Wow, Sturlock. Wow.
Go ahead.
I was just about to say the words Alana Pierce.
This is why we've been friends for 15 years.
Oh,
folks.
My God. So, yeah, I guess you take this one, Sturlock. Go on.
Yeah. So, Alana Pierce was talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And she wasn't exactly very thrilled.
No, she wasn't.
About it, because she feels like it's going to start a trend, and where console manufacturers kind of market their products like mobile phones.
Yeah, yeah, the mobile phone model, which works for mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
But what she was saying is, you know, even if you're a hardcore gamer, you don't typically use your console as much as you use your mobile phone.
Right.
So you're paying that money on that subscription plan, regardless of how much you use the device,
mm-hmm.
which is what she's nervous about.
I think the other thing she was nervous about, too, was the fact that, like, maybe we'll see more console iterations, like what Nintendo does with their portable systems.
And she rattled off. She's like, DS, DS Lite, DS
wrong.
XL.
Which she's not absolutely wrong. She's not wrong. So.
No. Yep, she's not wrong. But she kind of ended that video, though, by saying that she's really not sure how she feels about it, that she wants to think about it some more. Yeah. And she's one of those people in the industry who I actually really value the opinion of. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing what she kind of decides.
Even though I only discovered her like a couple months ago.
Yeah, she's a good people, I think.
She's cool.
She's very honest, I feel like. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah.
When the whole Last of Us 2 stuff was happening is when I discovered her.
Yeah, yeah. She was talking about
review scores.
Yeah. 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 Yep. That's
they don't really matter as much as you think they do.
Yeah, they really don't. I mean, look, that game got review bombed by people who hated it, and guess what? Hate to tell you, I actually don't hate to tell you because I freaking worked on the freaking game, so I actually love to tell you this. Most completed game on PS4 ever.
Nice. Good.
The most people who have played.
Certainly so. It's an amazing game.
Any game on the PlayStation 4 have completed The Last of Us Part 2.
That still blows my mind that I've beaten it twice, and I'm still up to four in shock. You're up to one, yeah. Well,
just messing with you.
You're Mr. Like, I don't know.
You got nothing. You got nothing.
I mean, you're a little biased too, though. I mean, you work on the damn biased thing, so of course you're gonna have a little bit. You're gonna have a little bit more, love for it. Then,
yeah, sure, I'm biased. I'll
that's like. I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It's not. Yeah. But, like, I'm just naturally, like, you're going to have a lot more emotional investment in the game because you had a big hand in making it happen for blind people.
Yeah. So. I mean, things like that might seem like little things to anyone else who reads a tweet like that really affect me a lot. Like, they make me super prideful. Like, because. My thought when reading that The Last of Us 2 is the most completed game on PS4 is, and guess what? Lots of those people were blind and or disabled in other ways.
Yep.
And so we are a part of this statistic now.
Yep.
That most completed thing, we are a part of that.
Yep.
Because we did it too. Anyway, going back to the new stuff news.
There's so much stuff.
So, there's actually another. This is actually, you know what? I gotta give it to him. I'm realizing it's actually just hitting me right now how much good Xbox news is coming today. So I gotta give him the nod. Today's a good day for Xbox. So yeah.
Well, this was out of nowhere too. If this is the thing I'm thinking of. This was literally out of nowhere. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. So, there's another piece of good news about Xbox fans. I believe it begins at the end of this month, I believe. Or maybe next month. One of the two. But, basically, if you have Xbox Game Pass, you will also have EA Play for Xbox. So just have it. Any EA Play game that is already available on EA Play on Xbox, you have it. All the discounts EA Play gets on EA games, you get them. It's as simple as that. Xbox Game Pass is just going to come with EA Play.
Yep.
Game trials, want to do those? Sure. I mean, look.
It's so cool.
We were pretty hard on EA for Madden, but seriously, that is a freaking great deal. And it's just the thing is, it's just a pile on though. It's just a pile on because Game Pass is already a freaking great deal. It's a great deal. And now they're just adding this onto it.
Yep.
Now you have all the games that are already on Game Pass. You're gonna have xCloud pretty soon. Although unless you're on an iPhone, it's not gonna matter very much. But I forget who it was,
but there was a YouTuber that was basically saying Microsoft isn't selling you a new console. I mean, they are, but essentially what they're selling you is Game Pass.
Oh, we said that too. We both said that during the mm-hmm. After the Xbox games preview event thing.
Yeah.
We agreed on that one.
Like they almost expect people to just not even buy any games for a while, it seems like, and do they just sign up for Game Pass and
yeah,
your new console will be able to play a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, even Alana Pierce, going back to Alana Pierce again, even she was like, I've seen a lot of questions that have been like, hey, I have a great PC. Is there a point in getting Series X if I have Game Pass? And she said, no, there isn't.
Yeah.
Even Alana Pierce, who works in the games industry, said, no, there isn't. Because
yeah, if you have the PC that can run everything. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you have a good enough PC that can run anything, no, there's no point in getting a Series S or X. No.
Nope.
But you got Game Pass, you're golden. And that's what they really want. So yeah.
It's crazy how there's just constantly more and more value being put on Game Pass as like what it offers. It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Game Pass is kind of like Amazon Prime Now in the quality of its value.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually really like, or not just Prime, Amazon Prime. I said Prime Now because that's only a part of it. I don't know why I just said Prime Now. Anyway, Amazon Prime, really good value, oh, I man. Think.
I've been sold on Amazon Prime for basically as long as it's been around. It's,
yeah.
That thing's, I love.
Yeah, there's so much Amazon benefit Prime. To Prime. There's so much benefit. I love it. I love
Prime. Prime is so good.
And Game Pass is like that. Even though I've been on the I'm not getting a new Xbox train this whole time, I'm still, and I've even said this, I've always been on the Game Pass train.
Yep. Game Pass is great.
It's too good a value to not have if you're a gamer, I think.
Yeah.
Even Ultimate, with where you get Game Pass for Xbox and PC, beautiful value. I've taken advantage of that a bunch.
Yep.
I've used it to try games real like good. Wasteland 3,
Yeah.
Which turned out really well. Just kidding. I was so sad. Like, the lack of controller support in the menus of Wasteland
3. So,
it's a painful experience.
Hey, at least we got one good game that we'll talk about later.
I mean, yeah. We will indeed. Yeah, I even wrote down, say what we will about EA, but this still is a great deal.
It's incredible. Like this deal.
It's a real.
I wonder how long it was in the works for. Probably a good while.
I would say probably a while. Like there's probably so much behind the scenes negotiating that we will never know happened, but I bet there was a lot of it.
All the lawyers.
All the lawyers in one room. So many lawyers. Yep. All right. Well, that I think does it for our gaming news. And that's almost an hour, 51:23. Well, as of right now,
it's a lot.
So pretty good segment right there. But don't worry, we're not done yet because we have some accessibility
news
coming right up, right now. Welcome to
Accessibility News. You almost said Game News again.
You know what? I'm keeping it. Screw it.
That's funny.
I almost said Gaming News.
You're just used to saying Gaming News.
Gaming News. I'm still, there was so much Gaming News that...
Yeah.
Hard to get out of the Game News mindset.
Well, I think what also does it is the name of our outline file is
called Game News. Oh, God. Do I have to make two separate files now? Good Lord.
No, don't do that.
All right, no, it's fine. That was funny, though. That was a good laugh. Hope you enjoyed that, listeners. That was for you. I totally did that on purpose. Nothing was a mistake. Everything happens for a reason. Just let it go. All right. Accessibility news today is going to begin with a really, 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 really cool game. A game that began its life on Kickstarter and is now still on Kickstarter. Just kidding. No. Cyrillum Ultimate. Let's talk about it.
Woo!
It is a game that was Kickstarter funded. It was overfunded like several hundred times. Well, not several hundred times, but like a bunch. A bunch overfunded. So much that there's a billion stretch goals that were reached. It's amazing.
I think they were only asking for like $10,000.
Yeah, $10,000. They got like 90. They made like 90. It's ridiculous, but in a good way. Man, this game.
Our buddy Blind Ryan has been a huge advocate for this game. He loves the crap out of this game.
Yeah, he's been
in
pushing
the series in general.
He's been pushing the developers for accessibility for everyone because he wanted us to enjoy it too. Because you know, Blind Ryan, for those who don't know, is low vision, so he can pretty much enjoy it anyway, like as it currently is, you know, even as it was before. But he wanted everyone to enjoy it, so he pushed them about accessibility, and because of him, we now have in the game, and believe me, this is actually different from the previous games, we have footstep sounds, and we have wall bonks, so we know when we're hitting a wall. And that is something that did not exist in previous Cyrillum games, so, you know, it actually is a bigger deal than you might think. It is helping us navigate in a world that would be very difficult to navigate without footstep sounds.
Let me just put it this way, I think I'm almost done with the main story.
Oh my god! Holy crap!
Unless they throw some twists at you, which who knows with this game, they might.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't worry. Even if you finish the main story, apparently there's still, you know, a couple thousand hours left of content, so I think you'll be fine. anyway, so this game is essentially like your kind of, I hesitate to say it, but Pokemon-esque monster catching RPG.
It's very Pokemon-esque, yes.
Yeah, it's monster catching RPG. You know, it's Pokemon, Manamon, all that kind of thing. It's like that, but
so much more complicated. It is, but it's not.
Right, and that's what I love to say about this game is that it's both incredibly simple, but also monstrously complicated.
Yep.
The whole game. Okay, you know what? Let's do it this way. Here are the controls for the game. Use the D-pad or thumbstick to move. Press confirm to confirm an action. Press cancel to cancel an action. Press other to occasionally do other stuff. And that's it. Yep. That's it. That's all the controls.
You can literally play this game on a Genesis controller.
Yeah, you can. The controls are ridiculously simple, and yet somehow, through ingenuity and awesomeness, the developer has created a massive, massive game that can function this way.
Oh, you know what? The other insane—we didn't bring up the other insane thing about this game: the freaking file size.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys,
what the crap?
You guys heard me just say. I just told Sturlock, don't worry. After you complete the story, you probably have a couple thousand hours of content to go. And that is something that I've heard from both the developer of the game and also people who have played the previous games. They say this guy is not lying.
Yeah, even Ryan was just like, yeah, he's not wrong.
Like he creates games with thousands of hours of content and he's serious about it. But guess what, guys? This game is 242 megabytes.
Yep.
Not gigabytes, no. Megabytes.
Any computer basically can run it.
Yeah,
my computer can run it, and it can't run crap for like PC games.
Right, that's why you had to get Mortal Kombat 11 on Stadia.
Yep,
because your computer can't run it, but it can run this game probably really
easily. It runs it just fine.
Yeah. So if you're blind, by the way, this game does not have menu narration in that sense that you're narration that you'd like to have in a game like this, but. It is so the graphical design of the game is intentionally, by the way, very simplistic, and as a result, the game is utterly fantastic with OCR. Now, there is an interesting aspect to that.
Yeah.
There is an interesting aspect to that. The default font of the game does play a little bit of havoc with OCR.
Yep.
And the funny thing is that it plays very specific havoc with OCR. All of mm-hmm. the problems that OCR has are consistent and always the same. So, like,
yep.
every F in the game is turned into a P, for instance. Every X is turned into an H. Every single one. And other letters are turned into H's, too. For instance, the letter M. In my character's class, formerly known as the Honk. According to OCR, I'm playing as a Honk.
The Honk.
The Honk. No, I'm playing as a Monk.
This is an Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah, this is not an Untitled Goose Game. Right. But the cool thing is, Strelok himself, at least as far as I know, because I don't know anyone else who discovered it, but Strelok himself discovered a method by which to correct that little problem.
Ryan actually, I guess, came up with it a couple months ago and actually forgot about it.
Ah, okay, well, in any case, but, you still refound it. Like, you still deserve some credit for it.
and I came up with it on my independently.
Right, and independent thought. It's a real thing.
It worked.
Yep, so basically, Strelok replaced the game's font file, the file the game uses to determine what font it's using, with a standard Arial font file.
Yep.
And guess what?
All it did was rename it to the name of the font file. That,
right, so the game would still call it correctly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was not really expecting it to work, but it worked.
It worked apparently perfectly.
Okay, you know, cool.
I haven't launched the game since then because I wanted to play it for stream, not for myself.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know how well it worked yet, but I actually have done the replacement. I just don't know how well it worked yet because I haven't launched the game since I got it.
Oh, it works like a dream. It's amazing. It's like, oh my god, this is so much better.
No more honks.
No more honks. It actually reads like as well as like Phoenix Wright does now, pretty much.
Well, Phoenix Wright had its errors too.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this is like, ah, oh, it's so nice. Like,
I can imagine. I bet it is. Because really, the thing is, it was technically, if you could translate, if you could figure out and then translate all the isms of the font yeah. problem, it was yep. already pretty nice, as long as you could figure that yeah. stuff out. So I can imagine this is pretty great, now that you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty great.
Yep.
So essentially...
And numbers, the nice thing too, that was another annoying thing about the original font, is...
Oh, numbers were wrong.
It screwed with numbers too.
Yeah, yeah. Threes were nines. That's right.
Yep. Doesn't do that here. Numbers good. Show up correctly, and it's like, oh, good.
I was wondering how I went from tier two to tier nine.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's so funny.
That threw me off too. I was like, wait, what? You figured out, oh, okay.
Like, I got more power than I realized. Oh, amazing. All right.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I was on tier, what was after nine? It was like 1.1 or something.
1.1, yeah.
Like, what? What 1.1. happened?
Sometimes it would also replace the number 4 with the letter U.
Oh.
For some reason.
Okay.
I don't know why.
You are now level U.
Yeah.
But I was just level 3. Don't worry, you're level U now. It's okay.
Cost per rank U. What?
You are the cost. You. What are we required to level up? You. Oh man. But the thing is, with this font replacement, it's essentially, from what I'm hearing from you, Strelok, essentially the OCR is basically perfectly. Like, you couldn't really yep. ask for a better OCR yep. experience.
There's a few things I wish would be nicer, like
health
values
yep.
and stuff.
Yep, but, health values.
Yeah.
Health values are displayed in bars, so OCR can't really deal with it.
Yeah.
Just so the listeners know.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate, but apparently Strelok's doing well enough to get around it, so, you know.
Yep.
Almost completing
the thing. Lore. So I have I don't know. I do have a slight complaint with the way upgrading your castle works.
Oh, yeah?
I don't like it.
That could be more than a slight complaint, if you'd like it to be.
I don't. Well, the reason I don't like it is because a lot of them depend on finding items that are just on the ground in dungeons.
Ah.
Just laying around. They're not like... I mean, yeah, there's stuff like monster parts, which you get by defeating enemies. But a lot of stuff requires specific items, like the blacksmith, you need a copper mallet, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. And,
those are just randomly on the ground
right.
in any given dungeon.
And to be clear, for the listeners out there, the dungeons are all procedurally generated. And by the way, not only that, they are regenerated every time you visit them.
Yep.
So it's never the same. You can't use a walkthrough and find an item like that. So I see what he's getting at. I understand why that's a problem.
So I literally just last night, just now upgraded the blacksmith.
Oh, you finally got one?
Tier 2.
Good, good.
I finally got what I needed. Like, you like way, way after the game expects you to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the game throws upgrades at you a lot. Like, oh, you can do this upgrade now and this upgrade.
Just find this random thing on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
No problem, right?
Yeah. I'd be okay if it was all stuff that you got from like fights. I'd be okay with that. But like, it's the stuff that's just laying on the ground that I have issue with. I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you.
It's really limiting because with the tier 1 blacksmith, you can only upgrade artifacts to tier 10.
Oh.
Which isn't very much.
That is super limiting, yeah.
And it's tier 20 with the level 2, which is pretty good. That gives you a 29% boost.
Oh, nice.
Per socket.
Very nice.
Oh, that's another thing, too. When you get up that high, artifacts have their own traits. They can socket.
Oh, my.
Kind of like monsters, but like artifacts specific.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy. Like the amount of customization.
The complexity of this game just keeps amazing me every time I come across something that shows it.
Yep.
Like, even on the stream that I did of this game, the one stream.
And you can
I did,
rename artifacts too. So, like, you don't have to just be like, oh, this is a pair of boots. You can rename it to, I'm assuming, whatever the hell you want it to be. So,
I want to rename a pair of boots Mom's Home Cooked Boots.
Yeah. You
Why?
Probably could do that.
For no reason at all. I just want to do it.
You probably can do that.
Okay. So, but yeah, even in the one stream I did this game, I was still like, I saw enough of it to be impressed by it. Like, just, you could, like, spell gems, for instance. That I think the spell gems is what got me. So you get, you can get these spell gems, and that's how you do spells. That's how your creatures cast spells. But don't worry, that's not all. You can upgrade those too. And you can add stuff to them. You can change the properties of every spell.
Yep.
It's insane.
It's insane, the amount of stuff you can do in this game. It's
and like
so
I said,
cool.
We're talking about all this stuff. I seriously have gone through all the controls with you guys. It's that simple and complicated all at once. Everything is done in either a menu or, you know, out in the world as you're navigating, fighting stuff.
This game also, the reason I love it is because I'll literally sit down with it for like 10, 15 minutes at a time and just do something, and then I'll save and put it down for a little bit, and I'll come back to it in an hour or two, and just it's really awesome for doing like bite size.
Have a little.
That's why I think it being on the Switch is such a good idea because it's a really good.
Oh, it would be a good on the go. I mean,
very well
suited
for portable. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not necessarily for us, but yeah, definitely. I'm feeling that it would be like go. Get on a bus, take out your Switch, do a Realm run real quick, you know.
Because Cerulean 3 is on the Switch.
Oh, it already is? Oh, wow.
Yep. Cerulean 3 is on the Switch. Cerulean Ultimate is coming to the Switch as well.
Oh, okay.
Next year.
Wow, I didn't know 3 was already there.
Of Ultimate are Yep.
Man.
That's where I got it originally.
Dang, son.
And I was kind of disappointed because I couldn't get a refund on it.
That's Nintendo. But yeah, man. Serial Ultimate. Really, really fun. It's got great writing, too, by the way. And often hilarious writing.
Is great. Oh, my God. The writing is hilarious. Oh, I found my favorite. God, this morning. I'm not going to spoil it, but Volcano, or however you say his name. I think he's my favorite.
Okay.
I
will look forward to
it. Oh my God, you're going to lose it when you get to him.
I will look forward to that. Oh yeah.
So good.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for more of that crazy writing.
Oh. And just the writing is just fantastic. The writing. Oh.
I'm ready for it.
I can't hype this game up enough.
It's so good. It is currently, so right now, it is going to be on Steam, but right now it's only available to those who back it. So it's technically in early access, but it's not available as an early access, like typically, like the way you do it on Steam. It is available if you go to the Serial Ultimate website and purchase access there. So basically, you're purchasing access to essentially become a Kickstarter backer, is essentially the way it works. Even if you didn't back it originally, you just basically buy in. So if you'd like to try it, remember, it's only 240 megabytes. So I'm pretty sure you have the space to run it. And, you know, NVDA OCR, and then replace that one font file, and you're golden. Even if you don't do that, though, you can still get by, you know?
I found out, too, you don't even need a controller, technically, to play it.
I'm sure you don't, but I like
controls. So the default, yeah, it actually feels really nice.
Yeah,
playing with a controller, but the default keys are, E is confirm, Q is cancel, and F is your
other.
Yeah. Also, the nice thing is too, both arrow keys and WASD work.
Oh, nice.
So, with WASD instead of arrow keys, you can literally play Serial Ultimate with entirely left-handed.
Yeah.
With one hand.
Yeah. Cool.
That's another cool accessibility thing too. You can play this game one-handed if you want to.
And actually, because it works like that, I actually imagine that, specialized controllers would work with it too, because it's all about remapping. And since everything works with the arrows, like, the mouse is a non-requirement.
Like, half-coordinated would probably love this game.
Cause... Yeah. Because you don't need a mouse. Like, the mouse isn't a part of this game at all.
Nope.
Movement is simple.
I don't think it uses the mouse for anything.
Yeah, movement is simple. Everything's in a menu. Yeah, absolutely. I bet half-coordinated would love this game. That's very interesting. That's very cool. Serial Ultimate, guys. It's awesome. I
freaking love this game. I'm probably going to go play more of it after the podcast.
I mean, you know what I'm probably going to do after the podcast, though? Probably not that.
Slay Spire.
Yeah,
you can do your endless run and slay the Spire.
My endless run is freaking awesome, dude.
I saw your Patreon post this morning, and
yeah, that is based on a real thing that happened.
Did you really have an upgraded 27X?
27. It's actually higher than that now. It's 29 now.
Oh my God!
Searing Blow is 29. You know why? Because all my other cards are upgraded.
It's the only thing left you have to upgrade.
And that card upgrades limitlessly. So, yeah, every time I'm at a rest site, I just upgrade that card. And because number one, I never need to rest because healing comes so easily to me because I just have, like, a lot of reapers and feeds and stuff like that. And number two, I actually can't rest anymore because boss relic. I took the boss relic that prevents you from resting at rest sites, the coffee dripper.
Oh, the coffee dripper.
And I decided to take it. Because I never need to rest. So why not take the energy instead? My energy is insane. Plus, I have ice cream.
I need to try endless mode.
You should.
Oh, you have ice cream. Oh, my God.
Yep. I have ice cream.
Well, I just got the new beta that Canspringer put out.
The one that lets you use the custom ice cream?
Yep.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing it. Definitely do endless mode, dude. Do your own endless run. It's such fun.
I actually kind of want to try it with some magic set. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, keep in mind, enemies, the reason the giant head in my poem that I wrote had 1500 HP is because this is the fifth loop. Every time you beat Act 3, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher.
Yep.
Everyone has more health. Everyone does more damage. And I'm still taking fools out in 1 to 2 turns. Fun.
Didn't Ryan say he got up to loop like 30?
He said 33.
Holy crap.
Loop 33. I might get there. I don't know.
The way your run is going so far, it sounds like you are right now, nothing can touch you.
My max health is 215.
Oh my god!
I can.
Holy crap!
Let me see. Let me think.
Oh my god!
Every 3 cards I play, I think I get 4 block. Every 10 cards I play, I get 1 more energy. Every time an enemy dies, I get more energy.
Endless run was like poison or shiv bill. Oh my god! I'm just thinking of the possibility.
Dude, I'm doing it with freaking Ironclad.
Ironclad.
Multiple demon form cards, by the way. Wait,
do those stack?
One of which I made. Yeah, they stack if you have multiple copies of the card.
Oh my! What? Oh my god! Really?
So here's what I've done.
Oh my god!
Here's what this works, by the way. The first thing I was gonna say is, because of that one, bottled lightning?
Yeah.
One of my demon forms is innate now, so I always start with the card. and this is going to blow your mind because this works, and you might not
know
think
what I'm
would...
doing after the podcast. Screw Serum Ultimate. I'm doing an endless run.
You might not think this will work, but this freaking works. Here you go. Here's the pro tip right here. So since demon form, and this applies to most powers, but not all powers, but most, like Barricade can't stack because there's nothing to stack onto.
Yeah.
But things like demon form, since it stacks, here's what you do. I have this little card called Dual Wield. What Dual Wield does is you pick one of your cards, and it puts two more, if you have the upgraded version, two more copies of the same card into your hand. So
three demon forms
in the hand at the same time. Not to mention the other one that I just have in my deck. I have 2 demon forms that are actually naturally in my deck. So, combine that, Sherlock. Combine that with the fact that I also have the relic that plays whatever your first skill is that you use that turn, it plays the skill twice.
Oh, yep.
So I can actually dual wield demon form twice in the same turn and then apply 6
Dude, you're unstoppable.
I don't know how anything's gonna stop me.
You might make it to run 33, loop 33.
I might. The most recent thing I did was I took out the Time Eater. No, not the Time Eater. Well, the Awakened one took.
You
me
should
three
do
times.
A. You should do a run. You should do a run on stream with your endless thing just to show people like how
sure.
absolutely broken.
I'll do that on Friday, dude.
I'll
start the stream with
it.
The endless run.
I want to see how
I'll do some
absurd
of it. Like,
this is.
I'll let the stream decide how long I do it because it's just going to be just slaying the whole thing.
It's just going to be a slaughter. Yeah, it's just going to be not even.
But
not even
I will show it. I'll happily show it to you guys.
I do want to see it though because that's hilarious.
So here's a good example. Oh, by the way, you know the transient, the Act 3 monster with a bunch of hit points?
I
killed him
twice.
I killed him twice, and the second time, because remember, every loop, the hit points increase, right?
Yep.
The second time I killed him, he had 3,000 hit points.
Oh my god.
Still killed him. Still killed him.
Oh, I can't wait to do endless mode. Oh, this sounds so fun.
It's so fun.
Oh my god.
I feel like such a freaking beast at this game right now.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh man.
I love this game. So I love Slay the Spire. It's so
it's
good.
Like, I feel like if I actually took damage, I would be in trouble, but nothing can hit me.
Right?
Because the thing is, I'm always gaining block too, and I do have Barricade. So if I gain block and they don't take away all of my block, then I still have whatever block is left.
Yeah.
Oh, also, every 5 turns I get an intangible.
Okay.
Every 5 turns. And by the way, that every 5 turns rolls over. So if I did, for instance, 4 turns and then finish the battle, the next battle I would start with a round of intangible.
Oh my god, it carries a... Oh my god.
It rolls over, yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, that is so broken.
I can't wait to show you guys. I'm going to show you guys on Friday. I'm going to show you guys on Friday.
Utterly broken.
I'm going to show you guys on Friday. You guys are going to crack up.
Oh, dude.
You know, it's funny. You say it's broken, and you're kind of right.
It's broken, but in that awesome way.
Not just because it's broken in the awesome OP way that it's broken. It's also... let me put it this way. I can no longer look at my relics with Chaos's mod.
Because you have too many.
I have too many relics, and if I go up to that area of the screen, it doesn't know what to do anymore. I have too many relics. Yep.
So I take it you're just not taking cards anymore.
Mostly, I don't take cards. There are two exceptions to that. I take anger cards. Every time that comes up, I take anger.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because that feeds itself, so why not? Yep. And I take heavy blade cards.
Oh, yeah, heavy blade's good.
Yeah. But otherwise, I pretty much don't take cards anymore.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to mess with this. Oh,
you know what's funny? I'm also cursed. I have the pride curse. Which just got given to me by the guy at the beginning of Act 1 that talks to you. Like, literally because I'm on the fifth loop, he just starts cursing you. You start getting stuff like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
But the thing is, I still laugh at the pride curse because I also have the gambling chip, so the pride cards that are innate, I just get rid of them right away.
You can just get rid of the cards.
So what were you saying? Like you were trying to curse me or something? Kind of slow me down.
Oh, that's great. I love that works.
Yep. I'm gonna show you guys on Friday. I'm gonna show you. You're gonna love it.
Ryan's now pushing for a game called Monster Train.
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
To get accessibility, but apparently, according to him, it makes Slay the Spire look like a joke.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to need some proof.
He's played it on stream before.
I am loving Slay the Spire. Loving it.
Yeah,
so
Slay the Spire is great.
It's going to take a lot to sway me. But
anyway. Man, I can't.
You'll see, Strog. I'll show you on Friday.
Holy crap.
If you get a good one going, let me know what build you're using, because I'm just out of curiosity, like I'll want to know.
I want to be Fang from Street Fighter V and just poison the crap out of everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Get you some catalysts and definitely utilize. I've never utilized the remove card service so much to really curate my deck, but I have during this playthrough a lot.
Yeah.
This endless run.
That's probably what it's more meant for, is for endless runs.
Yeah, because you really want the deck to be exactly what you want.
You want
else.
The deck to be, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
get rid of all unnecessary cards and just
no strikes, no defends, none of that nonsense.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, that's true. I don't have any defends either, because I have so many other ways to attain block now. I literally don't need defend cards.
By the way, I for a daily, I utilized the whole vampire thing where they give you bite cards.
Oh, really?
Bite is actually pretty good.
Is it? I didn't know. Is it?
It's an attack, but it also like heals you.
Oh, okay. But you lose a ridiculous amount of max HP to get it. I don't like that.
Yeah. But you give 5 bite cards, so yeah. you basically always have some bite cards.
Are they handy. Zero cost?
I think they're 1 cost, but
okay, that's still not bad.
It's just like it's like that risk reward thing, like the intangible, like the ghost encounter thing where you lose a bunch of health, but you also get
the intangible. Yeah, you can five stacks cards. Of intangible. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that, I mean, that's cool. I guess for me, I'll take my 215 hit points in the.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I think the maximum amount of block that I've had at one time because of barricade is like 180 block.
Oh my god! Wow.
Because there's one point where remember the relic that makes the first skill play twice. Well, I played impervious, so it gave me 30 block twice.
just like yeah, 60 block.
Yeah, 60 block. No problem. I got this. And they couldn't take it away from me because they weren't. I believe that turn they weren't attacking at all, and then it just added on to my block after that. So,
I can't wait to try this.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome.
I thought this wasn't even in the outline. We just ended up talking about Slay the Spire.
I know. Slay the Spire.
But it's too good.
It's too good. It's hard to not talk. It's hard for me to not talk about my Illis run because I'm so.
This
happy
is the kind of game
it.
I've always wanted.
Yeah,
and we can play.
Yeah,
this now. Like,
we can
wow.
we can completely play it. And it's hard for me to not talk about it because I'm actually like personally proud of it because this run to me has shown me personally that I know what I'm doing with the Ironclad now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got this.
You're pretty good with the defect too.
Yeah, I think I know what I'm doing with the defect too. Yeah, I think that's fair because the defect was the first class I beat off stream with.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, so I do know what I'm doing with the defect. The Watcher, still not there yet, but
I don't get Watcher.
I understand it a little bit. I understand it more than I did. The one that I did on
I don't
stream,
like
the Watcher
I don't
run
like
on stream.
I just don't like its playstyle.
Yeah, I don't think it's really for me, but I do understand it better than I did before.
There's a little too much strategic. I don't mind strategic thinking, of course, but when you literally have to think out every single turn, it's like,
yeah, you have to know exactly what the enemy intends to do at every moment.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a bit much, but you know, I
some
get
people
it.
Though
at least,
I'm
at least
sure
get it,
that
you know.
Definitely appeals to.
Sure, absolutely, and for those people, well then you have your Watcher class. There you go.
Yep,
you take
and
that
whole
class
bunch
and you enjoy
of,
it.
A whole crap ton of modded classes and oh yeah, we got to check out that other class that Chaos mentioned, the Hermit. That's basically fucking
Roland. Yeah. Also, I want to show you guys, I may do this also on Friday. I have the expansion mod, the Downfall expansion mod, which allows you to play as the bosses from the game.
Unfortunately, that doesn't work with Chaos Bringers. Or does it now?
It doesn't.
Because it didn't work. When I used it.
No.
It didn't work at all.
So here's the thing. If you actually do a Downfall run, it doesn't work. But you can take those characters into regular runs.
Oh, can you?
Yes. Oh. And that is how I will show them to you.
Okay.
So I kept the expansion because I want to keep those characters.
Well, I might get that expansion again then because I deleted it because it didn't work.
Yeah. Like, you can't do a downfall run, but you can take them into regular runs and do it that way. And you can take them into custom runs too if you want to.
Oh, cool.
And believe it or not, my favorite of the boss characters to play as, not even kidding, so much more fun to play as than to actually to fight him, the slime boss.
Yeah, the slime boss actually looked a lot of fun from when I read about it.
Not kidding, it's fun, dude. It's fun. Split yourself off into multiple slimes and have them attack and do whatever and stuff, and you utilize goop to heal yourself and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
So good. It's so good.
Oh, man.
All right. So Slay the Spire is really good. I think that that's been well established by now. Everyone should play it. There you go.
Armor should play it. I think it's like $20 or something.
Yeah, it's yeah. Unfortunately, so here's I didn't know this, but apparently it's on Game Pass. I didn't know that.
Really?
But the thing is, you couldn't use the Steam mods with that. So.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that it sucks that you can't just get that version, but. Still,
I mean, if you're sighted, people listening.
If you're a sighted listener, play Slay the Spire on Game Pass. Just do it. Just go do it right now. All right.
Probably already have Game Pass. Just go grab it.
Right. If you don't, you should. All right. So last thing that I have for accessibility. We're finally moving on, guys. Imagine that. I wanted to give a shout out to a company that's existed for a few years now that I have always supported. I was a Kickstarter backer when they first launched. And I've always supported them in what they do, because I really like what they do. Even though I haven't been a great customer of theirs, I really respect and appreciate what they do. So 64-ounce games, I think I've mentioned them on the show before, but I think the last time I did was a very long time ago.
It might have even been before I was...
Pre-you.
Yeah, I think it was pre-me.
I think it was pre-you, yeah. I think I mentioned them pretty early on. So 64-ounce games. They are a company who creates accessibility kits for tabletop games of all types. And when I say accessibility kits, I mean very specifically kits to make the games accessible. So yep. To be 100%...
You have to do the work yourself.
Right, right. You do the work yourself. And to be 100% clear on this, you purchase the games yourself as well.
Yeah.
The kits are a separate purchase. They do not sell the games. They sell their kits for the games.
Yep.
So there's a bunch of lists. By the way, they also are very helpful. If you want to, if you look on their website, look through the kits they have, and you're
they do tell you like where to go to get games.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yes, they will give you links to buy the game itself if you don't have it.
Yeah.
So if you want to look through the list of kits and read the description of the games that they're for, you can do that and say, "Oh, that game looks interesting. Let me buy the game, and then let me buy the kit from them." So, so yeah, they make full blind accessibility kits for these games, and we're talking they will make whatever is required for these games. They'll make pieces. They'll make dice, whatever dice type is required. They use a 3D printer for it. They'll braille the rules out. If the game has cards involved, they'll braille the card. They'll make braille sleeves for the cards. So you put the cards, the actual physical cards, in the braille sleeves.
We bought our step family bought a Cards Against Humanity set.
Oh, you did? Me and Misty have thought about doing that. I think one of these days we're going to do it, because they have kits for I think all the expansions.
I think it was at least a lot.
Most of them.
It was a ton. It was not an insignificant.
No, it's not insignificant at all. It's a lot. Yeah, me and Misty are thinking about doing that at some point. We'd like to, because then we could play Cards Against Humanity with like live friends and stuff.
It would take forever to sleeve everything, but it's worth it.
Misty said she's willing to do it. So we might do it one of these days.
Yep.
That's a big old kit. There's a lot of sleeves in that kit.
Yep.
Because those Cards Against Humanity sets are not small either. The individual, you know, expansions and stuff.
There's a lot of cards in those things.
A lot of cards. But yeah, that's what they do. And they have, I think, something like 70 or 80 games available, game kits available for different games.
Wow. I hadn't looked at their site in a while, so I hadn't been caught up on what they have.
And the reason this came up is because they just launched a new storefront, and they just added, I believe it was 4 really complex games. And the guy who runs it said the reason they weren't on there before is because they are super complex and they required a lot of fine details.
Yeah.
In the 3D printing for the kits. But now they have, thanks to support of people who purchase things from them, they have a new 3D printer with a apparently really fine extruder, which can do fine details in their molds.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
Good.
More games added to 64-ounce games. I'm so glad that they're still doing well. Because
I love what they do. Like they've really just gone far and beyond like what I ever expected them to.
Yeah, because I mean,
like this little niche company.
Yeah, this guy used to sell comic books, and now he's doing this.
64-ounce games.
Yeah, and it's something else too. Like it's something to behold, because you got to think, each one of these game kits requires something different from them, and each time they get an order, they have to redo whatever that kit requires. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not insignificant. Every time that someone places an order for one of their kits, it's not an insignificant thing. They have to do work to make that happen.
That's the thing I like too, is they do like the mix of stuff. Like they have a bunch of, I'm pretty sure they have, you know, a bunch of family friendly stuff, but you've also got stuff like Cards Against Humanity and just weird niche things.
I think they have like Settlers of Catan game.
Yeah,
which is it's pretty. I watched a tabletop do that game once. Will Wheaton and the crew.
Yep.
Those are the days.
Really niche stuff. I missed that show. Like, yep.
But yeah, they have some really obscure things.
I'm gonna go look at the list later because I'm curious what they have now. Because
yeah, it's a pretty big list now. It's a pretty big list now. I think you won't be disappointed. And everything on the list comes with links to get obviously their kit from them and then the game itself if you don't have it. So, mm-hmm. And as a Kickstarter backer, I actually have a couple of their kits. I don't have the so. I guess it's kind of funny thinking about it now, but for backing them on Kickstarter, they gave you a couple of their kits, but they didn't give you the games mm-hmm. because they couldn't really, because it's not theirs to sell.
Right.
So I actually have a couple of their kits, but I don't have the games. Normally, in a normal situation, I would, but because I backed them on Kickstarter, I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good. I still hugely appreciate what they do. And
what kits do you have?
I think I have Munchkin. I believe that's what I have.
I've heard Munchkin's fun, actually.
I don't have the game. I haven't played it. I know where it is. It's still like in its bag. We just kept it around, but we didn't get the game.
I've heard good things about Munchkin. Like, apparently, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that too. But yeah, you know, so if you guys are interested at all in some tabletop games with your friends or with your family, and you're blind. 64-ounce games will provide you the kits you need to make that happen. It's more than just Parker Brothers, Monopoly, and Scrabble, the stuff that the Braille Institute did. It's more than those. It's way, it's, you know, it's some tabletop
gems. This isn't your Mattel Uno set.
Right, no. Because
Mattel sells Braille Uno cards now, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, that is cool. I respect that, don't get me wrong, but there's some real tabletop gems in their list that you should consider getting accessibility kits for if you'd like to play some tabletop games. There you go.
Heck yeah. Who doesn't like a good tabletop game? We're not just all about video games. Here. I mean, it's kind of what we primarily talk about, but we're also not opposed to talking about tabletop stuff.
Right. Like I mean, this. We did talk about Lego too when they announced their thing.
That's so. Right. We did.
Yep. So we're all about accessibility. That's where it really is. Yep. Like games are our primary medium, yes, but mostly it's accessibility. That's where we stand. That's why I've even talked about things like audio description, you know, breakthroughs and stuff on here.
That's why we had Roy Samuelson on.
Yeah, freaking Roy, dude. And now he's a patron. I still can't get over that. I still can't get over that. Like, hey, I watched this movie today, and it was narrated by one of my patrons.
Yeah.
we love you, Roy. Keep doing what you do. Anyway, that is all I have for accessibility news.
Accessibility news.
So if you have any last minute things, Sherlock, we can throw those in there. Otherwise,
I do not. I think you changed my mind on what I'm going to play after the show. I'm going to freaking end the slave's point.
Oh man, you just wait till Friday. I can't wait to show you this. This is ridiculous. I'll get
to brag if I do really well. Maybe I'll get to brag about my crazy assassin build or something.
Yeah, like I said, if it works out, if you establish a good build, let me know. I want to know what you made work.
Yeah,
because I'm really, like I said, I felt personal pride when I made this build work. So I'm curious to see what else works. So,
yep.
All right, so we're gonna do an outro. We are gonna do an outro, and then. We're probably going to both play Slay the Spire. Okay. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 57. Today we're having a Breakdown Walls podcast. I wasn't sure if you're going to come with the song again. Oh, well.
Nah, I got right. Nothing.
Nothing else. All right. Well, I understand because you want to play Slay the Spire. All right.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, me and Sherlock really enjoy doing this every week. It is a highlight of the week for us.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. We enjoy bringing this information to you in our funny little tangent-filled way, and we hope that you enjoy it too. I mean, we are very, very happy for the listeners we have, and trust me when I say that we really mean it when we say that we would appreciate some feedback and some comments and some questions even. Welcome to talk about, more than open to talking about what you want us to talk about as well. So if there's something we don't cover that you want us to talk about, feel free to mention it to one of us. Come to breakdownwalls.net, join the Discord if you like, mention it there, whatever you like. We would like to involve the community. We always wanted to do that. It's just, it's kind of up to the community to get involved. So It is there. Voice messages are an option in the show notes of the podcast. Always leave us a voice message if you like, or just talk to us on Discord or whatever. You know, it's fine. You can find us. We're easily found. Yeah, and I think that's going to do it for this week. Next week, I fully expect, and I really mean this because of the way things.
PS5.
Prices. I believe it. I think things are moving so fast now that I don't see how it won't happen. Like, we're even if
literally
it's not tomorrow,
2 months away from console releases. Holy crap!
Yeah. If it's not Xbox tomorrow, I'll be surprised if it's not tomorrow. But even if it's not, it's got to be before next Wednesday. I really believe that.
Yeah. Somebody was. I don't remember if it was Youngya or RGT or one of those guys. Pointed out in a video that it's got to be soon too, because Tokyo Game Show is coming up.
Ah, yes.
And developers are going to want to show us
the things they haven't even show off yet.
Right. Yeah. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're probably right. So, I'm thinking soon, if nothing else. So we'll see, guys. Next week we'll probably talk a whole lot about it. So look forward to that. It's probably going to be another packed show. And we'll probably even talk about more Slay the Spire, because we'll both have done more things with our endless runs. So,
yep.
So, I am Brandon Cole, he is Sterlock, and we will see you next week.